Welcome to Whitley on Wine. I'm your host, Robert Whitley, and we're taking a little trip to Italy this week. I'm visiting with Dr. Federico Carletti of Poliziano Winery, a great Tuscan winery that Dr. Carletti is the owner and winemaker for. Dr. Carletti, thank you for joining me on the show this week. I refer to Poliziano as a Tuscan winery, but it's in Montepulciano, which is one of the districts of Tuscany. We also have Chianti, and we also have Montalcino and several other districts, Maremma, whatnot. Can you explain to me what characteristics distinguish Montepulciano from Montalcino and the other regions of Tuscany?
Yes, I think Montepulciano, the characteristic of the wine, of the terroir of Montepulciano, is really different. We have a lot of clay in the soil, we have the stones, we have good ripeness, the wine. Our wine has more color than in Chianti, more body, more softness than in Chianti. In Montalcino, the big difference is of the legal law of Montalcino, because Vino Nobile di Montepulciano stay in the cellar only 2 years, the Brunello stay in the cellar 4 years. Change a lot.
Makes a big difference in the wine.
Yes, mm-hmm. Big difference in the wine, and also the blend of the grapes, because Brunello di Montalcino is 100% Sangiovese, and Vino Nobile di Montepulciano is 80% Sangiovese, that we call in Montepulciano Prugnolo Gentile, and 20% of other red grapes. This is a big difference in the tasting. Our wine is more young, more easy, more drinkable. Brunello is really more concentration, more structure, is more wine to age in the time. For me, the best Vino Nobile age the same a long time in the cellar.
Okay. So the Brunello would be a little more muscular.
Yes. Yeah, perfect.
Do Brunellos age longer, I mean, in a cellar? You know, once they're released and sold, do they age a bit longer than Vino Nobile?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. They do two time. The 2 years the Nobile and 4 years the Brunello.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean in a person's cellar. If I buy a Brunello.
Yes, I understand, sorry. Sure. I think the very good Vino Nobile and the very good Brunello have the same life. Probably when the vintage is not so good, Brunello is longer in the aging. This is my opinion, because the tannins is more complex, more strong tannins, more aging for this big structure. Vino Nobile is more soft. The tannins all the wine is more soft. The smell is more fruity because it's more young when it go on the market, and more soft in the testing. This is the big difference. The acidity is quite the same. The big difference with the Chianti is more acid. The Chianti Classico is even more acid than Vino Nobile, sure, di Montepulciano, sure, and Brunello.
You know, we've mentioned Vino Nobile several times. Can you explain where the name originated and what it applies to in the wines from Montepulciano?
Oh, the origin of the name is probably a legend that Montepulciano was a very old city for the noble people. Mons Politicus from the Latin, and Mons Politicus is the Mons of the noble people. And the wine, of course, was for the noble people, was Vino Nobile. You remember, we have in Latin poems the origin of the wine in Montepulciano more than 2,000 years ago. We are very old historical place where we make wine. The second question, I don't remember, sorry.
Well, at one time...
At
one time, though, Vino Nobile was probably more famous than Brunello, probably more famous, or anything from Montalcino. Brunello isn't as old as Vino Nobile, but it was more famous than Chianti. Can you recount that era historically? I mean, what it was like for Vino Nobile back then? It was probably the preeminent Tuscan wine?
Oh yes, I think in the past we are more notoriety than in Chianti and Brunello. In the last 10 years or 20 years, I think Brunello have really in the market a big notoriety. Mm-hmm. But because there is a big investment, because the place where they make wine is very good. We have historical town. Our village is more rich, more important. For this question, probably the name Montepulciano is more notoriety in the world, because our town is really very, very rich. You know, is one of the best village of the Tuscany.
Absolutely, it's one of the great hill towns to mm-hmm. visit in Tuscany. I was telling Rodrigo here that one of my favorite cafes is the Poliziano Cafe,
and
it has a beautiful view of the vineyards, and it's high on the hill.
I know very well, and
I can get an international newspaper at the little shop right across the street. And I was asking Rodrigo if there was any relation between the winery Poliziano and the cafe, and he said no. But Poliziano has an interesting history as a name.
Yes, my father, when he bought the first part of the winery in 1960, he called it Poliziano. Poliziano name is the name of the people that live in Montepulciano, but the very famous Poliziano was an old poet of 14th century. The name of the poet was Angelo Ambrogini. He worked in Florence in Medici family. He was the teacher of the sons of Lorenzo il Magnifico, very famous man. And when my father bought the winery, he remembered the classic study that he made in the past. He called the winery Poliziano and registered the brand mark Poliziano for the wine. And now, when I came back in the winery after my study, we make two wine with fantasy name. We call it like the poem of Poliziano, Elegia and Le Stanze. It's two different fantasy name, EGT wine, mm-hmm. but with the name of the poem of Angelo Ambrogini.
Just to explain to people, EGT means it's a wine that's your DOCG. It's like a super Tuscan.
Yes,
absolutely.
EGT is a super Tuscan.
Now, when did you come in and take over the family business and start running the winery?
In 1980.
1980. Now, at that time, Montepulciano's reputation was at a very low ebb. It wasn't anywhere near what Chianti was or what Montepulciano was, but it's really come up. What are some of the changes that you've seen in all of those years, we're talking almost 30 years now, that have really brought Montepulciano wines to the forefront of Tuscan wines?
I was very lucky to start really in this period, in 1980, because change a lot in the Tuscany wines. The more important changing in the head of the producer is the philosophy. We understood in this period that we can make good wines. I remember my first trip in France. I made the first trip in France in 1983. I visited Saint-Emilion Médoc in a wine winery in Saint-Emilion, Chateau Figeac. We tested 70 wine from 1970, and we recognized that this wine very young, three months old. What means? We didn't believe that we can make so fresh, so good, so fruity wine, is so long aging in this wine. When we came back from France, I planted new vines, I changed the density, I changed the aging, big cask, and I changed in small barrels. I changed a lot of things.
People can understand what you're saying, you at that time, you made your wines in the large, large casks.
Slovenian oak cask.
And then you moved to smaller, like French barrique, like the French
use? French barrique and Tonneau.
And is that something that you really were inspired by your visit to Saint-Emilion?
Oh, yes. Also. Mm-hmm. Not only the small barrels, but all the things. The density in the vines.
And what does that do?
Now is 6,600 plants. In the past, we have 2,500 plants in 1 hectare. It's mm-hmm. very different. Mm-hmm. Each plant now make few grapes with good ripeness. Before, each plant make a lot of grapes with no good ripeness.
And so the wines weren't as good because the grapes weren't as good.
Yes.
Now you were telling me before we went on the air, and I sort of knew this. I visited the winery 12 or 13 years ago, and I remember the story. You're good friends with one of the great winemakers of Italy, Carlo Farini. How much of, and you went to school with Carlo. How much of an influence, he wasn't your enologist, but he was somebody that you talked with about viticulture and wine all the time. How much of an influence was Carlo in your plans at Poliziano?
Oh, yes, a lot. We are really friends. We started together at the university in 1972. And Carlo is really not an enologist. He is an agronomist. Mm-hmm. We started together from the vines. We started together to change the production from the vines, because the red wines, the quality of the red wines is in the vines, is not in the cellar. In the cellar, we can improve the quality, but the maximum of the quality you have in the vines, of course.
You know, you're talking about vineyards. You keep going back to vineyards. So tell us a little bit about how vineyards in Montepulciano, the terrain differs from, say, Chianti Classico, which is very hilly, and as my memory is, it seems to me Chianti Classico is much more hilly than Montepulciano, even though Montepulciano is a hill town. But you're out in the vineyards, and you're way down low, and you can see Montepulciano, the town, way up on the hill. And how does it differ as well from Montalcino?
Oh, the terroir of Montepulciano, the soil of Montepulciano, mm-hmm. there is about 20% of clay. It's a really pliocenic clay, like Pomerol, to understand, mm-hmm. With stones, but not galestro.
So does that mean you're going to plant some Merlot as well?
Oh, yes, I planted Merlot. where there is the fantastic clay I planted in the last 20 years, some Merlot, it is very, very good. Mm-hmm. And the climate is also different from the Chianti. The Chianti, you are good. It's a very, very good, very high hill, with stones. The climate is not so warm, it's colder, and the wine is more acidity, more fruity, more elegance in the smell, but less body, less concentration, less ripeness. In Montepulciano, we have more ripeness, more sweet. Sweet body, more color, because the maturation and the ripeness is better in Montepulciano than in Montalcino. This is my opinion.
Now, you're traveling here in the United States, and you visited the East Coast, you're visiting the West Coast, and I would have to say, from my experience, Italian wines are more entrenched on the East Coast, and there's much more knowledge of differences. Are you finding, as you travel the United States, that the average person understands the difference between Montepulciano and other Tuscan wines?
But it's very difficult, because you know very well I don't speak English so well to understand the consideration of the people.
You can jump in, Rodrigo.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But I think the American people from San Francisco, West Coast, know very well the Vino Nobile. This is my opinion. I was in three bicchieri of the Gambero Rosso, mm-hmm. testing in San Francisco two times in the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I should
let people know. Poliziano is one of, in my opinion, the two mm-hmm. best wineries in Montepulciano, mm-hmm. and one of the five or six best in Tuscan. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just, Poliziano is a terrific, terrific mm-hmm. winery. And you also have your rival down there, Avignonese.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? It's a very good brand.
Yeah, Avignonese. They're pretty famous, too.
Very good brand.
Yeah. Which, to my way of thinking, has to be very good for Montepulciano to have two superstars like Poliziano and Avignonese, because that promotes the idea of Vino Nobile.
Oh, yes, yes. We need more and more. This is the question. Mm-hmm. Probably the more bigger reputation of the Brunello is they have 10, 12 very good very good brand, very good winery that make good wine, and they conquistano il mercato.
They conquer the market.
They conquer the mercato.
Sure. Tell our listeners what the difference is between a Rosso di Montepulciano, yes, and a Vino Nobile.
But Rosso di Montepulciano is the same grapes exactly, 80% minimum Sangiovese, that we call in Montepulciano Prugnolo Gentile, 20% other red grapes. But for the Rosso di Montepulciano, we can bottle the wine in the first year of life. Really, a lot of winery don't use the oak to aging Rosso di Montepulciano. Poliziano use 25-30% of the oak in the blend of Rosso di Montepulciano because we like more complexity in the nose, more complexity in the testing of the Rosso di Montepulciano. The Vino Nobile, of course, have a minimum 1 year in the oak in the cellar, a minimum another year in bottle before going to the market. And Nobile age in the cellar for 2 years, not only 1 year like a Rosso di Montepulciano.
You know, I think the average consumer has been conditioned to think, you know, Rosso di Montepulciano, Rosso di Montepulciano, these are fresh, easy wines that you can drink when they're young. But there has been a trend in recent years in Montalcino to have a super Rosso. So more barrel aging and more structure and really looking for top-notch grapes. Is a similar thing happening in Montepulciano?
No, in Montepulciano, I think the best opinion, the best philosophy for the Rosso is the philosophy of Poliziano. I think I am the only winery that we age in barrels the Rosso. In Montepulciano, there is a few super Toscans, also very famous, like Toro Desiderio of Avignonesi, like Le Stanze of Poliziano, like there is other of the other winery, but it's super Toscan, no Rosso, no super Rosso.
You know, we can't talk about Italian wines without talking about Italian food, you know? So everywhere I go in Italy, you know, different regions have different specialties and different ways of cooking the same thing. Is there a special cuisine in Montepulciano that you really like to match up with a Vino Nobile, or a special cuisine you like to match up with the Rosso?
Well, we have a fantastic dish, a special from Montepulciano in San Casciano dei Bagni. It's very, very small area where we make pici. Pici is a pasta made by hand without eggs. That
little
is
thicker.
Fantastic.
A little
yes.
thicker, yeah, it's delicious.
It's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we make two different sauces for this pasta. One we call aglione. Aglione means
large garlic.
Large garlic, but it's
large
fantastic.
Garlic, okay.
And the other is the duck sauce, which the duck is with Vino Nobile, the peachy with the we call it ragù di anatra, is really fantastic blend.
Well, you know, in Montalcino they also have a ragù for their peachy, but it's
different. They call it not peachy, ma pinchy. It's different.
Yes.
No, it's different. Also, the pinchy are with eggs. Peachy.
So the pasta itself is actually
different.
Yeah, okay. But what is their sauce?
<'Cause> no, the sauce is, I think, is in the Montalcino, I don't know, but it's the same sauce.
Well, you know, you can walk around these hill towns in the evening when restaurants are starting to open and you can smell the sauces, and it's hard to stay on a diet, you know, to watch yourself. What about, I know, lots of parts of Tuscany are big on meat dishes, you know, game, cingale, like that.
Yes.
What about in Montepulciano? If somebody visits Montepulciano, what, and they go into a restaurant and they see they're looking at the menu, what should they look for that identifies closely with Montepulciano?
Yes, cinghiale is, but rabbit. Rabbit is fantastic dish. From
what do you call rabbit in Italian?
Coniglio.
Yeah, I knew that.
Because in the past the farm in Mezzadria. Mezzadria is is a way to management the wine, the farm. There is the owner and the workers, and they make half of the production. All the workers have rabbit, chicken, but it's fantastic. Our special dish of the area is this, from the history of the last 10 years. 100 years.
Okay.
Yes, also the chianina. is the same thing, because the Chianina is a white gall. Yes,
yeah.
It's a white gall, very big, fantastic.
You had to be very unhappy when you weren't allowed to eat Chianina for a while.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, but now it's now, 1 year and a half, okay. That is okay.
I know.
Crazy cow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go into, I go to a restaurant in Florence where I think, you know, in Florence, it's my favorite steak, Florentine. Il Latini?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, I know very well. Yeah, I know very well. When I was studying with Carlo, we ate in Latini because Latini is open 40 years ago. It's a fantastic place.
Now, let's talk about, you know, I could talk about food all day, but we are here to talk about wine. Let's talk about the specific wines of Poliziano. How has the lineup of wines changed in the nearly 30 years that you've been running the winery? And what does your current lineup look like now? I know you have the Vino Nobile, you have a couple of reserve bottlings. So could you...
Oh, yes. We make a long way. When we started, we had no good wines. We wanted in the past more concentration. In the 90s, really, we have a wine too much structure, black, with a lot of tannin. Now we came back in elegant wine, mm-hmm. with a really austerity, with a really...
What caused you to change that?
Oh, the change, the fermentation, of course, mm-hmm. the first thing. We are making a new fermentation cellar, and we have very soft in the structure from the skin. Mm-hmm. In all the wines, we change the style. Your answer... we don't change anything because we have the four wines from Montepulciano: Vino Rosso di Montepulciano, first vintage 1989, mm-hmm. Vino Nobile di Montepulciano, first vintage 1965, Asinone, that is the single vineyards, yeah. The single vineyards of Vino Nobile di Montepulciano.
And that's one I see in restaurants a lot.
Yes, yeah. First vintage 1983, mm-hmm. and Le Stanze, Super Toscans, blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, first vintage 1987. We have all wines with more than 25 years of life.
Now, La Stanza never had any Sangiovese?
No. It's a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Now is about 75 Cabernet and 25 Merlot.
Now, do you treat it like a Bordeaux? Do you age it, say, 2 years in barrique?
Yes, 1 year and 2 months in barrels, yes. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like a business card to understand the quality of the terroir, because all the people in the world know Cabernet, know Merlot, mm-hmm. and when you test Le Stanze, you test the ripeness, no green, no peperon, really fruits of forest, very, very ripeness, the tannins. You test a Cabernet from the terroir of Montepulciano. For me, very interesting to show to the consumers.
Now, Asinone, your single vineyard, why is that special? What is special about that vineyard that makes it stand out?
The vines are 45 years old. The terroir is my best terroir. Very, very dry, very strong. We make few grapes.
How big is the vineyard?
It's 14 hectares. So
about 30 acres.
Yes. Yeah. We made 30,000 bottles. Few production for a large vineyards. But the grapes is fantastic because the grapes is small grapes, small berries, a lot of skin, no juice. It's fantastic terroir to make concentrated the wine in Sangiovese.
Now, I bet you that's a wine that ages very well.
Sorry? Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. In this moment, I tested the last week, 88 is still young.
Mm-hmm.
It's really still young.
What do you do for white wine? I know you used to have white grapes, so
yes.
But you don't longer blend those in with your red wine. So do you make a white wine at all, or is there much white wine in Montepulciano?
No, it's traditional grapes, Trebbiano and Malvasia. In my winery, in 1990, I planted new variety of white grapes. When experiment, and after this experiment in 1991, I never plant again white.
So you're a red wine man.
I make only 5,000 bottles of white in 800,000 bottles of red. Is a few production.
Yeah.
Is I think is our terroir, the soil, the climate is so hot in the last 10 years. Change for the white is not really very, very exciting.
Well, you know, you talk a little bit about the temperature because you say it's been so hot for the last 10 years. You've had a lot of really good vintages. Can you recap some of the really outstanding vintages over the past 10 years?
Oh, yes. Yes, I understand. We change the climate. In the last 10 years, we make fantastic vintage. 2004, classic,
beautiful.
Fantastic. 2006.
2004, all over Tuscany.
Yes,
really,
because
wonderful.
It's
yes.
not so hot. It's classic vintage. More very, elegant. Very good. Very yeah. good. 2006, 2007, fantastic vintage. 99. 97. In the last 10 years, really, the new condition helped the ripeness of the grapes. We changed completely the agronomist management because now the sun is so strong. But changing the management, we have fantastic grapes with good ripeness.
I noticed you didn't mention 98, and I wonder what it was like in Montepulciano. I feel in Montalcino, 98 gets overlooked because 97 and 99 were so spectacular. How was 98 in
98 for my winery is medium vintage. Mm-hmm. I know in other country have more quality probably, but we have 97, 98, 99 is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
2000 is too warm, like 2003, 2001, 2004, 6 and 7 the best.
You know, it's been a pleasure visiting with you today, and I'm going to wrap this up quickly because we're just about out of time, but I noticed that you were talking about all of these different red wines that you have, and you've been making all of them for a little more than 20 years. Is there anything new on the horizon at Poliziano other than just striving for greater quality?
Yes, we have two big... two new estate, one in Cortona, we bought 10 years ago 7 hectares, and one in Maremma. You know Maremma.
I know Maremma well, yes.
From Bulgari to Morellino di Scanzano is large wild terroir, where also Poliziano make a new estate with 27 hectares of vines.
Okay, but you won't call it Poliziano. You'll just have Poliziano mentioned somewhere, but it'll have its own name?
No, I have the name Loza. It's a different name in the state of Maremma. Yes.
Excellent. I look forward to tasting those wines because I like the wines from Maremma, and they're a little less expensive, generally speaking.
Yes.
Other than Bulgari.
Bulgari is very expensive, of course.
Anyway, Dr. Carletti, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your stay here in the United States and travel safely.
Thank you very much.
Until next week, this is Robert Whitley for Whitley on Wine saying ciao.